In the 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, extended nursery is going to go down in the back. If the kids want to go down, they can stay. They don't bother us. I like them in the service, but sometimes they want to go down. If they want to go down, they're welcome too. All right. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, if you find that, and as you're looking, we do, again, want to invite you to stay for a meal after the service, but for the next few moments, just give the Lord your undivided attention and just focus on Him. And we'll try to be as quick as He will allow us, all right? But we're not going to rush the service because of food, but we do want to be obedient to the Lord. If you found 1 Corinthians 16, stand with us this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word, if you're able. We're going to begin reading in verse number 13. It says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and of Fortunas and of Archaeus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit in yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such." Our Father, we thank you, Lord, again for this privilege to be in your house. We thank you, Father, again for the opportunity, God, just to stand and to preach and to proclaim your word. And Father, as we preach this morning, God, we just desire for your will to be accomplished in each heart and each life. Lord, be with me as I stand, God, and hide me behind the cross, Father, for I'm nothing, Lord, and I just need, Father, to lift you up. And God, help us each one to be obedient to your word this morning and to your spirit as you speak to our hearts and lives. And Lord, help us to submit ourselves and surrender ourselves to whatever you would have us to do. Now, God, we thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen. You may be seated. Verse 13 is a message in and of itself, and I'm thankful for that encouragement and for that admonition to stand. I tell you what, we're in a world today where God's people need to take a stand, amen? And we need to stand. We need to be watchful, and we need to be mindful of what's going on in the world, and stay involved and stay connected and stay in the book so that we can kind of direct our lives and help to try to point others into the road and to the path that Christ has determined for us to follow. But in verse number 15 is where I want to take my text from this morning. I was reading this, and God just laid this on my heart, and why this message for this day, I don't know. I never do. But I try to be obedient unto the Spirit of God as He speaks to my heart. He says, "I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." I want to stop and preach in this verse and on this verse this morning and on this thought. They have addicted themselves to the ministry ministry of the saints. I just got to thinking about that, and God just laid that on my heart. I'm dealing with a lot of things that are going on in our lives, and folks in our church and families, how we see addiction that's running rampant. I don't know of a family here that, if you would honestly answer, I can say that you're not affected and you're not touched in some way, maybe not in your immediate family, but in your extended family by addictions. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. It's relevant in every life and every family. It don't matter whether you're rich or poor, or whether you're famous or not famous. Our lives are affected by addictions that are all around us. I have a personal effect by that in my own life. from what's going on in some of my family's lives and what's surrounding them in the addictions that they live in and around, as we touched on Sunday school and some of that. And it's just a bad situation when addictions take place to the things of this world. They destroy lives. They destroy families. They destroy everything that people once held dear. I've seen people who were some of the most upstanding and upright people that could ever have been thought of that are overtaken by addictions. And we always think about someone else's addictions, but we kind of overlook ours. Amen. Sometimes it's easy to overlook our addiction when we are able to look at someone else, and it makes us feel better about ourselves. But let me tell you this, you need to focus on yourself and what has control of your life. In America today, some statistics that might be helpful. One in four are addicted to nicotine. They're dependent on cigarettes and on smoking. You think that's no big deal? It is. Amen. Cancer that's caused by smoking has killed untold millions of people. One in six Americans are shopping addicts. They're always having to be buying and taking advantage of every sales event. And I know for a fact that there are some folks in this church who have been addicted to shopping by their own admission. I had one lady tell me that she was so addicted that she couldn't pass a certain type of store without stopping to buy something, whether she needed it or not. It's easy to overlook that addiction and to look at someone else's. But if you got a problem, you got a problem. Amen. It don't matter how small it is, a little leaven and leaveneth the whole lump. Amen. If you will allow a little thing to overtake you, it's very easy to surrender and submit to the bigger things when they come your way. I look at this. One in every seven Americans are addicted to the internet, surfing, Facebook, role-playing games, whatsoever. Folks spend their whole life. I don't see how folks have so much time to spend on Facebook. I for the life of me, I glance down through it, try to scroll through it. I just kind of keep abreast of what's going on. And like Brother Delmer said, some folks use it as a messaging system to get a hold of you. But some folks, everything that's going on in their life has to be connected to social media in some way. You're addicted to the internet. You're addicted to social media. One of every eight Americans has a significant addiction to alcohol or drugs. And we always think about these addictions. We always want to point these out when we're thinking about addiction to the drunkard and the drug addict. Well, friends, they got serious problems, but their problem is a problem that can be solved. Amen. Their problem is a problem that can be dealt with by Jesus. I tell you what, rebirth will do what rehab will never accomplish. And I'll stand on that principle. I'll stand on that philosophy because I know men in this very church that have went through the program and went through the different step programs, and they can tell you they were bound and shackled to a program. But when they met Jesus, praise God, when they got reborn and when Jesus made a change in their life, they got freed from addiction. Amen. And they can stand and testify, and we'll tell you today, if we had the time to listen to the testimonies, one in nine Americans are addicted to porn, seeking after something that will never satisfy and can never satisfy because it takes you to deeper and deeper levels. One in every 10 Americans is addicted to gambling. Look around you this morning and how many people are here. And there's no doubt that people are here this morning that had to buy a lottery ticket because they're waiting for the next big win. They're waiting for the next out. You say, well, preacher, there's nothing wrong with the lottery ticket. I can afford it. I'd rather depend on Jesus than on the lottery. I don't know about you. Amen or ouch. Amen. It's where it stands. You see, as Americans and as humans, as people in this carnal body, we're addicted to things of this world. And if we're not careful, we'll let the things of this world and the addictions to the things of this world draw us away from Christ. Brother Delmer and I was talking about a week or so ago about how you just see so many that have no time and have no place for the church anymore. Everything's more important. It's more important to go camping. It's more important to go to the beach. It's more important to go racing. It's more important to go to this. It's more important to go to that. It's more important for this event and that event. Every weekend they have a family event that they got to go to. And, you know, we had a guy at work. His mom was in the hospital in critical condition so many times, and she died more than any one person I ever seen. Every time he turned around, he had an excuse not to be at work. We said, we just feel sorry for his family. They're the most put out family, the most put on family from all the burdens that they have. But they are addicted, and we get addicted to the things of this world, and we forsake the things of Christ. You can tell addicts by different things. You can tell what's important in people's lives by different things. But Paul writes about a man here in his family who got addicted to Jesus. Amen. And let me tell you something. If you will really get addicted to Jesus, amen, everything else will take second place. Everything else will take a back seat. You know, if someone gets addicted, you see, somewhere along the line, they've been introduced to whatever it is that they've become addicted to. Drugs, sometimes folks get addicted to drugs, and it happens slowly. It happens, in some cases, methodically, and they are lured into drugs. Sometimes they start out with easier things, and then they follow into harder things until they find their lives are destroyed. And praise God, they were introduced to it by some friend. They were introduced to it by a family member. They were introduced to it by a doctor who prescribed something and got them addicted and made no way to help them to the midst of their addiction. But somehow or another, they have got addicted to what they were done or what they're doing because they were introduced to it along the way. Apostle Paul, he talks about Stephanus and his family, how he was the first fruits of Achaia. Let me tell you something. One day a man by the name of Paul came to where Stephanus was, and he preached about what Jesus had done in his life and what Jesus could do in their lives. And praise God, that day Stephanus was introduced to Jesus, and he met Jesus, and he found out that Jesus was everything that he ever had hoped for, and a whole lot more. That Jesus brought satisfaction more than anything this world could ever give him. Amen. Do you remember the time when you were introduced to Jesus? Do you remember the time when you invited him in? Do you remember the time when you claimed him as your own and you got addicted to Jesus? And since you got addicted, nothing else in this world even mattered anymore. Amen. You know, that's what happens to people who get addicted to worldly things. Amen. People get addicted to gambling, and they gamble everything they have away. They gamble their families' incomes away, always hoping for something better, always hoping for something more, never satisfied if they do win, because maybe tomorrow there's going to be a better win. There's going to be a better payout, a better payday. And praise God, they're never satisfied. They say when you get introduced to heroin, the first time, now, there's different ways you can use heroin. You can smoke heroin. You can snort heroin. You can sniff heroin. But they say the first time that you ever inject heroin into your veins, your body from that moment on will always crave and will always desire and will never be satisfied till it can feel that same feeling that it felt that very first time that you injected heroin. And every time that you inject heroin to get that same feeling, you got to inject a little more heroin. And you got to keep doing this until you keep feeling the way that you want to feel. Friends, when you get introduced to Jesus, and you allow Jesus in your heart, he does something in you that no drug, He does something in you that no attraction that this world has. He does something in you that nothing that can be supplied to you can make you feel and can make you act and can make you want like what Jesus can do. Amen. He lifts the burden of sin. He takes the guilt of your condemnation. He gives you hope for eternal life. Praise God. I thank God for the day. Praise His name that I was introduced to Jesus. I'd heard about Him. The preacher had told me about Him. The preacher had witnessed what He would do and what He could do and what He wanted to do. And praise God, He knocked at my heart's door. And I said, I don't want to meet you today. I don't want to meet you now. Maybe another time it'll be just a little bit better. But praise God, that Tuesday night that I got introduced to Jesus and I invited Him in, my life has been changed and has never been the same. Amen. Amen. I've never been as happy. I've never experienced anything like I experienced when I met Jesus. Paul said, for I know in whom I have believed. He didn't believe in something. He believed in a person. Amen. He knew who he was introduced to. Peter, James, and John, they met him by the Sea of Galilee. The woman of Samaria met him there at Jacob's well. Praise God. The blind man met him by chance as Jesus passed his way and made the clay and opened his eyes. And he told the Pharisees, I don't know what you think about him, but I believe that he is the Son of God. Don't you believe him too? They chased him away. But praise God, he knew who he meant. He knew who he was. He knew what he had done. He knew what he could do. And praise God, there was nothing in this world that could do what Jesus had done. Amen. Praise God for the day there was an introduction. The Bible tells us there's a lot of people that say they were introduced, but there's no evidence of it. Amen. Over in Titus chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says, we're going to know that there's some that say they are, but they're not. Amen. Over in 1 John chapter 3, John says that we can know who's been introduced. And so hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Praise God. I want to know this morning, have you been introduced and did you get addicted? Amen. Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt there's a time and a place when you've asked Jesus into your heart? There's some signs of addiction. Amen. You can be around somebody for a while and kind of tell whether they're on drugs or whether they're addicted to drugs and alcohol, that it's very relevant in their life. You can be around people that have gambling habits, and if you're around them a while, things begin to become evident that lets you know that they have an addiction to gambling. They have a problem. We can be around someone that has a shopping addiction. Amen. Something as simple as that. And you go to their house and you can find out that they are addicted to things because they got rooms and rooms and closets and shelves full of stuff that they can never use. I like clipping coupons, but some people will go clip coupons and they'll go buy stuff just because they said they got it for free, and they have their basements shelves filled with stuff that they're never going to use, stuff that is useless, but it was on sale and we got it with a coupon. It's totally and utterly useless to them. It's an indication that they got an addiction. And let me tell you something about a Jesus Christ addiction. It's got some things that become evident too. Amen. You see somebody that was once caught up in sin. You see somebody that's had a drug addiction. And man, I've worked around enough of them, been around enough of them in my life, I know. Get all jittery. They're moody. Amen. Paranoid. They just act funny. You can tell that something is going on. It isn't normal. But praise God, when they get cleaned up, you can get them in a rehab. Man, it just seems like a new person comes along. Their personality changes. The Bible says over 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. Praise God. Let me tell you something. You can tell when somebody's got addicted to Jesus. Amen. There's a change that takes place in their life. They no longer want to do the things they used to do, say the things they used to say, act the way they used to act. Praise God. Their life reflects on the outside what has happened on the inside. And you know that Jesus is in control. Amen. Not only is there a change of personality, but praise God, there's a change in their personal relationships. Amen. They no longer hang around with that same old crowd that they used to hang with. They no longer run with that same bunch to the same riot of excess that they used to run to. But praise God, you find them running to the church house. You find them running to the revival meeting. You find them running to wherever they can hear the preaching of the word. Word of God. How you find them running to wherever God's people might be gathered together to honor and to worship the name of Christ. And you find them staying away from the same old crowd. The Bible says over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And I tell you what, if we could grasp that in our lives. Does the world look at you? Does the world see your relationships? Does the world see your life and know that you're addicted to Jesus? Huh? Amen. If you're the same old person that you ever was, chances are you're not. Amen. Chances are there's been no change. We have a change of desire. The Bible says in Colossians chapter number 3, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on the things of the earth. Our desires change. Why? Because we've had a change of heart. We've had a change of desire. We've had a change of what we're addicted to. We no longer want the things of the world. We want the things of God. We no longer want to hang around the people of the world. We want to hang around the people of God. Amen. We no longer want to do what the world does. We want to do what God's people does. Amen. We no longer want to find pleasure in the world, but we want to find the pleasures and the peace and the joy that come in serving Jesus. And we see our affections are changed. Our desires change. And it makes a difference in us. And our actions change. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If your life is bearing witness to what you're addicted to, for your love of Christ, your desire to follow Him, your desire to sell out to Him, your desire to be His holy and fully and completely. Praise God. It will show in the things that you do. And the last change we see is a change of address. I don't live in a slum house. I don't live down at the crack house of this world anymore. Praise God. I got a new address. Jesus said, behold, He said, I go and prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. I've got a new heavenly address. Amen. I don't live like an old beggar in a drug house, in a crack house, in a flop house anymore. Praise God. I might have to dwell in a little place down here, but I've got a home in that city that's called heaven. Amen. I've had a change of address for several years now. Amen. And one day I'm going to get to go there. Amen. One day I'm going to get to visit it in person, Brother Delmer. Amen. I know, like the Apostle Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. I don't know. I know it could be any day. It could come at any time. But praise God, when I leave here, I'm not worried about it because I know I have a place to go. Amen. I've got a permanent address that's been set up for all of eternity. It's been set up and prepared for me that I might have a place to live as the time and the ages roll on and on and on and on. And God says that there's a place for me there. Praise God for that. You see, another thing about addiction that we see is there's a prognosis in this world. We see those who continue in drug addictions. My family has been touched. My family has been affected by it in a horrible way down south where a lot of my family was. And, you know, I'll tell you what, I'm not afraid to bear the skeletons that's in my closets. A lot of families, they don't want to talk about their problems. They don't want everybody to know. I've seen firsthand. I've tasted and faced firsthand in my family what drugs and drug addictions can do. My oldest sister's son had a little girl. He was an only child, and she was an only child in my church. Knows this. I've shared it with you before. She had a beautiful marriage, had a wonderful husband. Out go get her. He was an out and go get her. And he got addicted to drugs somehow. They'd been married several years. Had a great life together, had a promising future. He got addicted to drugs. He got so bad that she divorced him. And my two sisters lived next to one another. And they loved Robert. And they cared for Robert, but they just couldn't deal with the addiction. Lost everything they had. And my other sister felt bad for him. He come to her. He didn't have any place to go, any place to live. She let Robert come and stay with her. Tom said, Robert, you can stay here, but you ain't going to do no drugs here. I said, I love you and I worry about you and pray for you. But he was still doing his drugs. She woke up one morning and she found Robert dead in the closet. Had a heart attack because of drugs. My nephew happens to be a year older than I am, so let me just give you an age perspective. Was married to a lady, and her son grew up, was younger than his daughter, and grew up watching all this. He got addicted to drugs. Whether by the other one or not, I don't know. But one day they found him hanged. Some said it was a suicide. Some say it was over drugs. My nephew's wife went off the deep end. And after drugs had destroyed in her family. I'm not talking about some young girl. I'm talking about an old woman. I'm talking about a woman close to my age. She got addicted to crack. She's a crack addict. To this day, she's a crack addict. She lives and dwells on crack. My niece remarried. And voila, she married another drug addict. And before long, she was addicted. All this time, she had dealt with all this mess and remained clean. Kept herself away from it, but it got a hold of her. She became addicted. She almost died. They took her into the same hospital where my sister's at right now. And they done surgery and they replaced the heart valves that were damaged because of the drugs that she did. And they told her, said, you will never, ever, ever be able to go through surgery again. Your heart is damaged so bad that you can never face surgery again. She went home and she got gallbladder disease. And her gallbladder became infected but they couldn't do nothing for her. They couldn't operate on her. They couldn't help her. And she's got two little kids. One of the saddest things I've ever heard in my life was the letter that she sat down and wrote her children to apologize to them for the fact that she was going to soon die from the poison that was going through her body. She swelled up grotesquely and just turned green, died a horrible death, but had to write and apologize to her children, one just a little child, the other one was about 8, 9 years old, that she had allowed drugs to have control of her life and to override everything and be more important than anything in her life. And now she was going to die and she wasn't going to be there for them. She wasn't going to be there to support them, to watch them grow. She wasn't going to be there to be an encouragement and a help to them. See, the prognosis of sin and the prognosis to sin's diseases isn't very pretty. And I can speak to it from a personal advantage and from a personal place. I was just down there this week, and I've seen the ravages of what it has done in that whole family and in all them lives. I got so mad, I literally had to get out of the state of North Carolina. Something was going to happen if I didn't. My wife can tell you. We was this side of the Virginia line. She says, we was in Virginia before you ever did calm down. It just went to me like my sister, my oldest sister, she lives as a prisoner in her own little room because of what's around her. My younger sister lives next door to her. They got to guard everything they do because of what comes and goes and what's around. The prognosis for sin is death. The prognosis for sin is never pretty. Though the world paints it a beautiful picture, though Hollywood might glamorize it, though the soap operas might make it seem cool, the prognosis for sin is always the same. The wages of sin is death. And when you're addicted to this world and you're addicted to the things of this world, all that you have to look forward to is what this world is looking forward to. But friends, the prognosis for the child of God, the prognosis for those who have addicted themselves to Jesus, the prognosis for those who come to church and who are in the house of God and worshiping God and praising God when everybody else says they're crazy is great. I want to tell you this morning, there's nothing like being addicted to Jesus. There's nothing like being sold out to Him. There's nothing like letting Jesus have His will and His way in your life. Jesus said over in John 10, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Praise God. He said a little bit further in chapter number 10, I've come that I might give unto them eternal life. And praise God this morning, I'll take what Jesus has to offer. I'll take that prognosis over what the world has to give me any day. The question that I have for you this morning before we end the service is, what would you choose? Have you ever been introduced to Jesus? He's wonderful to know. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright morning star. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the day star. He's the Lamb of God. He's a Savior that came to take the sins of the world that you might have life abundant, that you